Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined as always by Mike Prasuta of the DVE Morning Show. The San Diego Superchargers coming here to Pittsburgh for a 10 a.m. kickoff at Heinz Field, 4-8. No offensive lineman at all for the Chargers. They're signing. Maybe the best thing that happened to the Chargers was they have lost out on the bidding war for Chris Scott. He actually went to the Buffalo Bills. Good news, bad news for San Diego. And it's both. They didn't get Chris Scott.
I think that pretty well summarizes the state of the union in San Diego.
Yeah. You know, they're in a situation once again where their coach is under fire, and it doesn't look like he is going to have one of those miraculous turnarounds in December to save him this year. The Chargers coming into games last Sunday, which was December 2nd, the first Sunday in December of 2012, they were 18-3 in December under North Turner.
18-4 now.
Losing at home to the Cincinnati Bengals, getting slapped around a little bit by the Bengals defense, which, you know, the Bengals defense can do that. And certainly when your offense is as beaten up as the Chargers, just to run it down a little bit, in the offseason, the San Diego Chargers made what they thought was a marquee free agent move by signing offensive tackle Jared Gaither. That never worked out, and he was put on injured reserve a few weeks ago after playing virtually no football this year. Then on Monday, last Monday, North Turner announced that current starting left tackle Mike Harris would miss the game with an ankle injury. Current starting right tackle Jeremy Clary would miss this game with a knee injury, and left guard Tyrone Green would miss the game with a hamstring injury. So that kind of left, and they've also put David Mulk on injured reserve. He's a center. So you got Nick Hardwig and Luis Vasquez as offensive linemen in their positions for Sunday's game, and the rest are guys I guarantee you you've never heard of. Steven Schilling is one of them. You illuminated us last night on Countdown to Kickoff on some of the other two, did you not?
Reggie Wells was added yesterday.
Right, Reggie Wells.
And there was another young man added with Schilling whose name escapes me right now.
Was it Colin Baxter?
Yes, it was.
Yes. Colin Baxter.
I remember because I was thinking Baxter was the name of the dog, Will Ferrell's dog in Anchorman, and that was filmed in San Diego, allegedly.
Wow. Way to tie it all. Way to tie in the little pop culture there.
Baxter! Much like these linemen, Baxter had gone away, and then he had to make his way back. All three of these guys' labs have recent experience with the Chargers. Wells was with them in September, never played, was never active, but he was on the roster hanging around. The other two guys were with San Diego in training camp in 2011 and 2012. So it looks to me what they've been doing is finding guys, not just, you know, the best of the available street free agents in late November / early December, but guys with knowledge of the San Diego system, because it sounds like they're gonna, at least a couple of them are going to be expected to play. And that ain't good. You know, there's probably a book written somewhere, How to Win an NFL Championship, by Vince Lombardi or George Halas or Mike Ditka. But I don't think there's a chapter in there. Entering the stretch run, find guys that you didn't think were good enough at the start of the season to be on your team and reacquaint them with your team.
And put them in the starting lineup.
And put them in the starting lineup. It's not a pretty picture.
No, it is not. So Philip Rivers certainly is going to have his work cut out for him working behind that offensive line. Philip Rivers not having the kind of season that he has had in the recent past.
Doesn't have the weaponry around him that he's
does
had
not have, in the absolutely,
recent past.
Does not have that. Does not have the protection up front that he's had in the recent past. I mean, people talk about, boy, is there anything wrong with Philip Rivers? Is he injured? Is, you know, there's something wrong with his arm? Well, I don't know. You know, maybe he's just getting the snot beat out of him. He has been sacked 36 times already. Not the most mobile guy out there. And, you know, so Philip Rivers' situation to quote Ike, his situation is his situation. And it should be something that the Steelers should be able to take advantage of.
Yeah, what is he at, 15 picks?
15 picks and 18 interceptions.
18 touchdowns.
That's what I meant. 15 picks, 18 touchdowns. You know, he still completes a pretty high percentage, 65.3, but the 36 sacks, you know, and the 15 picks almost nullifies the 18 touchdowns. I mean, he's given it away as often as he's sticking it in the end zone. And, you know, the Chargers, really, that's just not a formula for winning. They're currently on a four-game losing streak. They lost at Tampa, at Denver. They lost to the Ravens on that 4th-and-29. We'll talk about that here in about a second. And to the Cincinnati Bengals at home. You know, the first thing I thought of when I saw that and heard about 4th-and-29 was, I didn't think of the Ravens and wow, how they pulled that off. I thought of the Chargers and how could you let that happen? And someone that you reference quite regularly, Mike Ditka, when it came up on the pregame show last week on ESPN, that was his take. Some of the other guys were talking about the Never Say Die Ravens and what Ray Rice did and what Anquan Boldin did and et cetera, et cetera. But Ditka just looked at it and said no mental toughness at all on that Chargers team to allow a dump down pass, which to go for 29 yards or 30 yards on 4th-and-29 when you said how many guys missed tackles? Three, four?
A bunch. Yeah. It was when I first heard about that play, I thought it had to be something akin to a Hail Mary,
right,
or maybe a deflection,
right,
or something. I went back and looked at it because I taped the game. Ray Rice caught the ball 1 yard down the field from where the line of scrimmage was. But San Diego was playing a Hail Mary defense. It was a big umbrella way down. So Flacco's sitting back there, and they rush three, and nobody's getting near him, and he's looking, and his guys are outnumbered down the field. So Ray Rice is standing over here on the right side with his hand up. Popped it over to him. Now, Sean Phillips was chasing from behind. He was one of the rushers on the play, but he's not going to catch Ray Rice from behind. In front of him, the closest defender was 25 yards away. So Ray Rice just starts running. He said, I got some room here. I'm going to take it. Put some blades of grass behind me. They'll figure it out later. Three guys come up to make the play, but they all kind of converged on the spot where they thought Ray Rice was going to be, as opposed to kind of surrounding him or keeping in a lane like you would on a kickoff. And they all got basically in the same spot, so Ray Rice goes, left turn, Clyde, and he just starts running down the yard line at the middle of the field toward the sideline. He beat all those guys to the edge. Then as Eric Weddle was coming up to make a play, he makes a right turn. Rice does, right about the time Anquan Boldin executes the prettiest block in the back I've ever seen. And I say pretty. Hey, he was trying to help out.
Oh, yeah.
It was a tough angle.
It's the ref's call. It's the ref's job to call it.
Yeah.
He's just trying to make a play.
He didn't give up on it.
Right.
It was a block in the back.
Yes,
so
it was.
To answer the question of how could this possibly happen.
Those replacement refs.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, no. It was
that's right. I forgot that.
So he gets the block in the back, and then he makes right turn, Clyde, and starts going toward the goal line again as opposed to the sideline, and he's trying to get to the stick. And there's two guys sort of in front of it, kind of – you got to get through us, and he just puts his head down and tries to blast through those two. Gets through them, bounces on the ground, bounces forward a little bit. When the dust settles, that's where they mark the football.
Well,
and then just the cherry on top of the sundae, they said first down and moved the chains, and then everybody went crazy. They decided they were going to remeasure after a review, but they had to move the chains back.
You did hear that.
The chains were already moved.
The NFL definitively, they examined that and said the officials did the right thing.
I would disagree.
So would I.
I would
but
disagree.
You knew as sure as the sun rises in the east, though, that they were going to say they did the right thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, why wouldn't you move the sticks before you might have to remeasure? That would be my question. But, you know, Ray Rice got what he could on the play, and it turned out to be enough to keep that game alive. Then they kicked a field goal, and the Chargers had the Ravens backed up late in overtime, and Flacco was able to hit a long pass to Torrey Smith that put him in position for the winning field goal. The San Diego team has been competitive in a division, Bob, the Steelers division, losing to the Ravens by 3 in overtime, losing 7-6 in Cleveland, and by 7 last week to the Bengals. But I'm here to tell you, this San Diego team started the year 2-0, and hasn't beaten anyone but Kansas City since mid-September. Think about that for a minute. Just let that kick around and get full appreciation for not beating anyone but Kansas City since baseball season was still going on.
Or, you know, there are a couple of Eagles fans probably who would come up with one better than that, but who haven't won any since baseball season was on. But you're right about only beating Kansas City since September the 30th.
So I don't know if you want to do the simple powers of deduction. For perspective, the Chargers are better than Kansas City, a team the Steelers played and a team the Steelers struggled with. But they are better than nobody else.
Yeah, you know, I kind of think, though, San Diego's in a little bit different spot than Kansas City was when Kansas City came to Pittsburgh. I think the Chiefs had a little bit more of, give a darn. At that point in their season, it was a Monday night game. There was some of that. There was some, you know, playing against your old coach, Todd Haley, a little bit of that. The Chargers, to me, are kind of like the Eagles in that their coach looks defeated. When you see him on the sideline, he looks defeated. And I think that that is something that is that a football team is able to pick up on. I think these guys know, I mean, especially the ones who have been there, that Norv Turner, their coach, has been fighting for his job for several years now, and this just doesn't seem like something that that's going to be allowed to continue. Their team is being talked about as one that might move to Los Angeles. They have lost, in terms of the talent thing, it's been a drain. They have lost more guys than they are replenishing, either through the draft or with free agency. You know, the Chargers to me seem on they're very much on the precipice. All they need is a little push, and they will go right over the edge.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think they had the last thing they were hanging on to probably was that December success that you had referenced, and even at seven losses, you can convince yourself pretty easily to say, hey, we get on a run, we run the table here.
Right.
9-7, it's going to work out.
On last year, 8-8 won their division.
Yeah.
So, you know,
no,
right.
That wasn't going to happen this year, but they still had a reasonable fighting chance last week. But then you throw that Bengal result on top of the Ravens result the week before and, you know, consecutive losses at home. Now you got 8 losses.
And now you're coming to Pittsburgh for a 10 a.m. game.
Yeah. It's reality, I think, is starting to set in. And then, you know, guys are coming in on a daily basis in your locker. Hey, how you guys been? How's it been going since I got cut in September or August? That's not conducive to success.
Right, and your quarterback can't have a lot of confidence when he looks around at those faces.
And you're coming to play a team that is all of a sudden flying high.
And you know what it'll be like on Sunday, too.
The emotional low that you're on, they're on that type of emotional high after beating Baltimore. It's a bad recipe for the Chargers. But you got to play the game.
You know, one of the things that San Diego has done well this year is return interceptions for touchdowns. They have 5 of those.
Particularly against the Chiefs.
Oh, that the recipe there?
Yeah.
But anyway.
They got a touchdown. Just the second time they played Matt Castle, they got a pick 6 and a strip 6.
So, there you go. We've seen the Steelers lose to bad football teams this year, but it has only been on the road.
Yeah. And I think 3 of those 5 are tips on the pick 6s, if I remember from
they
my –
They still count, though, right?
They still count.
Yeah, I'm not saying
– Some of that's self-induced if you, you know, catch the ball.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen games – a lot of self-induced at Heinz Field in my time. So, yeah.
Three Rivers, too.
Yeah, there was a little of that there.
Remember that Kansas City game?
Oh, yeah.
I forget what year it was, but the total yards were 490-something to 81.
And yeah, it was a punt return for a touchdown, a kickoff return for a touchdown, and a blocked field goal
blocked
for
something.
A touchdown. Yeah, that was the last, and I believe that was 1986. It was the Steelers lost 24-19, And 1987, then Chuck Noll finally hired a special teams coach. Steelers were the last team in football, or in the NFL, to have a full-time special teams coach.
And that's when he came up with the tremendous line.
If you hit a donkey in the head with a stick often enough, even he gets the message.
Yes.
Yes. You know, and just we're totally off the track here, but hasn't special teams been the one black sheep of the Steelers' resurgence? When you talk about from the merger on, 1970 on, okay, you know, even the Super Bowl 70s Steelers stunk at special teams. They almost lost Super Bowl 10.
The Vikings game.
No, that was...
That was nine was the Vikings game. Yeah, don't forget the block punt.
Right, they would have had the first shutout in Super Bowl history, but they blocked the punt. Yeah. In Super Bowl 10, Jarrella missing all the field goals, tapping them on the head. Remember Chuck going for it at the end rather than try and punt the ball because Bobby Walden was 2-1 to even catch the snap. Then Noll is the last guy to hire a special teams coach. The 2001 AFC Championship game was right up there. The 1993 playoff game in Kansas City, the only way they lose that game is a block punt. The 1993 game in Cleveland, where we stood up there and watched Eric Metcalf return not one, but two punts for touchdowns. There have to be some more. The five kickoff returns for touchdowns in 2009.
Yeah, it's been a fairly consistent trend. They've had some... You know, some good kickers over the years.
Yes.
Some scintillating return men.
Yes.
But, yeah.
It's not.
And even this year, you know, there haven't been debacles per se this year. And Sean Sweetsam is just having a Phil Dawson-type season. He's just got that automatic vibe going.
His kickoffs, too, have been.
Very good.
Yes.
But we saw a return out of Chris Rainey last week, a big one that really helped.
And didn't get nullified by a penalty.
And that was a rarity.
Yes.
It had been a while since that had happened. Yeah, if they could put that together. The defense has buttoned it up, and the offense figures to be energized by Ben Roethlisberger's return. If they could get a complete special teams effort, this might be a pretty formidable football team here, Bob.
So we're going to run the ball a little bit, help Ben out, right? I mean, but still, I want to see him. I'm going to – if he's playing, and we're assuming he's playing, I say if – you know, as the proverbial if. If you're going to put him in the game, you play the game as you would.
To win the game.
Well, with him in the game is what I mean.
So what's he got to do, Bob?
What's he got to do?
Yeah. Get it out quick.
Oh. Throw it to the guys in the black helmets. Yes. Yes. But who knows? Maybe this will be a little bit of an incentive in that area, too.
Couldn't hurt. At least a little reminder.
A little reminder.
Hey, remember, this is how we're doing it this year.
Okay, well, I think we're done. I mean,
I don't have a whole lot else to add. The Chargers are what they are.
Yes.
I will add this. I've gotten a great sense this week that not only that Ravens victory and all the circumstances around it, but the time of the year, it's almost as if a big switch has been flipped around here. And guys are talking. Mike Wallace, I had a chat with him yesterday. And I was – discussing how he kind of has endured some struggles the past two games, but three catches on that game-winning drive in Baltimore, and he was able to move the chains, and he and Charlie Batch finally got it together when they had to. And Mike Wallace is of the opinion that nothing that's happened to this point matters. The story is going to be written starting now, and he's pretty excited about it and what he might do. The intangible stuff that Mike Tomlin has chewed on a little bit, both after the game in Baltimore and the other day during his Tuesday press conference. You know, how much is that worth? Does that matter? Well, the players seem to think it matters a lot, and you made a great point last night on Countdown to Kickoff that now is when that stuff starts to matter.
Yes.
You know, you can't be intangibly all gung-ho.
September the 3rd.
Yeah. But now is when you come together, and now is when a team puts its foot down, and now's when you take off, and I have an unshakable feeling that that is about to happen here with the Steelers.
I do as well, and should be fun. That'll do it for this edition of Talkin' Steelers Football. For Mike Pursuta, I'm Bob Labriola. Thanks for listening. We will talk to you on Monday when we tell you how right we were about Steelers-Chargers.